Dan Levitard, if we're really being honest about it, it's just a giant piece of shit.
To the Big Suey.
Bald Eagles.
A podcast exclusive that none of our bosses asked for.
More sports.
More work. Less pay.
I haven't stopped talking in a month. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Just when you thought the show couldn't be more diluted. Bam.
Last time I listened to this show.
I haven't listened for years.
Now here's the marching band to nowhere.
Am I missing something? What am I missing?
The end of the story.
Fat face.
Chris Fallick.
It's Felica. You made him a penis.
And the habitual liar.
I didn't ask for any of it.
You asked for all of it.
The Big Suey.
I'm Chris Cody, BSPN. Andy Reid figuring out his face shield thing, is this like an indictment on the preparation before the season? Like, no, like, because they fixed that really quick. Like, the first game, it was like the foggiest thing you've ever seen, and now it's just crystal clear. Is this a good adjustment after game one or poor preparation before game one?
I would say poor preparation before game one.
Yeah, because it was pretty absurd.
Like, they watched the film, they made adjustments.
I know, right. But how about you put the mask on before the regular season starts and see if it fogs up?
It seemed like they were just like, they handed him that 20 minutes before the game, and they're like, here you go.
It's like everything else. There's no preseason to break down the tape. You know, you could do walkthroughs, but there's nothing like an in-game situation.
It's a fair point.
It's excellent analysis out of Billy. Chris, you wanted to say something about LeBron. What was it that you wanted to say?
God, have you guys seen it? We record this, obviously, in the morning. He tweeted at 6:30 a.m., he just did that because, you know, he's not sleeping till game five. Remember he said that?
Right. 48 more hours. Right?
Some gif of some cartoon being wide awake at 6:30. Like, he set his alarm to do that.
That's
like,
really bad strategy.
That's funny, actually. I think he went to sleep last night watching the Cartoon Network, took a picture, set his timer to send that out this morning, and that he's sleeping right now.
Yeah. He is a tad corny. I know a lot of Heat fans are getting annoyed with the complaining about calls. I can't do that. Because that's just so hypocritical.
Oh, I can.
You're not actually a Heat fan. You're a Knicks fan.
No, I'm happy to do it. Because,
and a hypocrite.
No. It's become unbearable. I'm sorry. He did not do this in Miami when
yes,
he was in Miami.
Not to this level.
Yes,
he did.
Listen, when you take LeBron, who's already annoying and complains about every little thing, and then you sprinkle in some Rondo, it becomes unbearable and unwatchable. I can't do it. And why the referees? That is your court. It is your home. It is your court. It is the only place you're relevant and you have control. Why are you letting that man talk to you like that in your house on your court? Explain it to me.
I love, they're not here. Oh. I also love that you know all the married lives of Tony Brothers and Scott Foster, so you know whether they're in control
you
of their
Scott
own
Foster's
home or not.
Tan? Because I've seized on Tony Brothers' hair situation.
He's by that Disney pool. He is loving life. Scott Foster is so happy. He's like, let me just come out here and bake a little bit near Thunder Mountain.
We'll see how much he likes it Friday night.
Was it Roy that had the observation? I think, Roy, did you retweet somebody saying that he's going full George Hamilton? It's getting a little weird with Scott Foster.
It's crazy how long the bubble's been going on. I was listening to the ESPN Daily, Malika Andrews. She's been in there since June 29th. Like, I feel terrible for her.
Well, but that's the thing. We were just talking. You feel terrible for her, but we just put all of football in a bubble for twice that long.
Right. Jimmy Goldstein said it's the safest place on the planet, and he's right.
What was the reaction to that Jimmy Goldstein interview? Because I assumed that the audience wouldn't like it, even though if you don't know what we're talking about, NBA superfan Jimmy Goldstein is 80 years old, and he came on with us yesterday. And he kind of surprised us because he was heartbroken about not being allowed in the bubble. His first finals games he's missed in 25 years. And so what I assumed would happen is that people wouldn't like the interview for a number of different reasons, because it was an old person sounding old, because of the privilege that there is in being able to spend $500,000. What'd he say? He said he would have saved 500 grand.
Yeah.
Like, if anyone hearing that, I can understand why they would be like, especially during these times, wait a minute, you're going to be heartbroken because you saved 500 grand because you've got so much money that you can't get courtside?
He's an 80-year-old
man. I'm with you. Like, but I assumed that the audience would not like that for a number of reasons, even after when we were done. You thought it would be a bad interview before we started. You said it before under your breath. But I thought when I left that you had taken the loss there. Do you know what the reaction was to that interview?
I don't know. I do feel like, without even checking the mentions on Twitter or any sort of reaction, I do feel like I took a loss, though. I thought Jimmy Goldstein was better than I thought he was going to be yesterday.
Well, I just thought it was interesting, if nothing else. Like, it wasn't I didn't think it was boring, but I think at least in part, I didn't think it was boring because he surprised us. Billy, what was your reaction to the Jimmy Goldstein experience? Because we like to take swings around here, and sometimes those swings are misses.
We take one every Tuesday. I
mean. Yes, we do. Every Tuesday, we take a swing with an old guy. A guy older than Jimmy Goldstein. That's got to be the oldest, right? I went on a radio station last night, and they asked me about Eddie Van Halen's death, and my immediate reaction was, whoa, old guy radio. Like, that's where we started. And I'm like, I'm going to call it old guy radio when I just had Greg Cody and Jimmy Goldstein experience. What was your reaction, Billy?
I felt bad for him. He sounded, like, heartbroken. He seemed to think that he was wronged. I mean, I don't know what he's watching. There's zero actual fans in there that aren't like family members. So I don't know why he thought he was going to get in the bubble. But I mean, it would be interesting if Jimmy Goldstein was the only NBA fan allowed in the bubble. And he's just walking around the hotel lobby in his bathing suit with a towel around his arm. He's like, what time's tip? And he's asking like the ref. He's like, all right, see you there.
I wonder how much he would have paid to get into the bubble, man. From how beaten up he sounded,
I should have asked him that question, but I could just
get
sort
him back on today.
Whenever we talk about money, I can feel like I sort of felt that I was putting Jimmy Goldstein in a bit of a bad position in that there's a certain entitlement that it sounded like once he goes down the path of saying that he tried to get in the bubble and is hurt that he wasn't in the bubble and that David Stern would have gotten him into the bubble. Mm-hmm. Like I could see how every sports fan listening to that would be like, really, dude, you think your money is going to make you so special that you're the only person allowed in a pandemic bubble?
How about everyone get over it? I mean, he's Jimmy Goldstein. He's an NBA super fan. He sits front row. He pays a lot of money. He doesn't have to apologize for having a lot of money and spending it the way that he wants to spend it. Like, I hate people who spend other people's money. If that's what Jimmy wants to do with his money, I made a career out of it.
Don't you? You do that on the radio all the time. Where are the chickens?
Chicken thighs.
Hey, it's been a while.
You always spend other people's money.
Are you kidding me?
You spend time. You're what a Ponzi scheme is? Is you spent a lot of people's money.
You spent a lot of my money personally and stole $20 and bought Naked Taco.
Steak and mushroom.
Zoom chicken.
Carne asada.
Zoom chicken.
You mentioned Eddie Van Halen, and I saw this.
That was a gut punch, man.
I saw this pop up on my timeline. I want to courtesy the book, though. I got to the roots of it.
I'm sorry. Forgive me there. I laughed at an inappropriate time. It was the stray chicken squawk, not Eddie Van Halen's death, that made me laugh like that. The last tiny chicken squawk is what made me laugh as Mike started talking about the death of Eddie Van Halen.
So yesterday, a lot of people of a certain age were feeling their own mortality. That is, of course, when David Weather's son came out and pitched for the San Diego Padres.
I still can't believe it. I'm still reeling from it.
I don't know what was the most stunning thing from the Twitch broadcast, that or Roger Bell still holding a seething resentment to the Miami Heat not wanting him so he couldn't root for the Miami Heat.
He could have helped, damn it. Either way, I saw this pop up on my timeline. I retweeted it, and I was like, man, I hope I didn't fall for an internet trick. But I got down to the source of it, and this comes from the book, Eruption in the Canyon, 212 Days and Nights with the Genius of Eddie Van Halen, who passed away succumbing to throat cancer after a long battle. This is a story about Eddie Van Halen after Wes Borland, the guitarist for Limp Bizkit, left the band. Fred Durst, they were the biggest rock band, arguably, in
for
the
like
country.
For like 6 weeks.
Yeah, yeah, at the time. So Eddie Van Halen goes to a jam session as they're, you know, we're huge, so why not get Eddie Van Halen in Limp Bizkit? So the story goes as this. Van Halen was apparently so dismayed by a jam session to the point where he called it like being a scholar amongst kindergartners. It gets better. The next day, he went to get his gear from the Beverly Hills house that they were doing this jam session in. And the description goes from here. Eddie once bought an assault vehicle from a military auction. It had a shine gun mount on the back, and it was definitely not legal. Eddie drove the assault vehicle through L.A. into Beverly Hills, then parked it and left it running on the front lawn of the house Limp Bizkit was rehearsing in. He got out wearing no shirt, his hair in a samurai bun on the top of his head, his jeans held up with a strand of rope and combat boots held together by duct tape, and he had a gun in his hand. That asshole answered the door, and this is someone that was in the jam session recalling this story, and Van Halen was reciting this. I put my gun to that stupid bleeping red hat of his, and I said, "Where's my shit, mother bleeper?" That bleeping guy just turned one of his employees and starts yelling at him to grab my shit. Eddie Van Halen stood on the front lawn of a residential home in Beverly Hills in broad daylight, smoking a cigarette while holding a gun on Fred Durst as he went back and forth from the house to the assault vehicle, lugging amps and guitars.
That is the Eddie Van Halen story. Is it the cigarettes that got him on throat cancer? I know he had beaten, or he had been sober for a while.
There's cigarettes. Usually, in throat cancer, it's either that or HPV that causes cancer with rock stars. You can't discount that. I don't know why I'm here to like guessing armchair quarterbacking exactly. How
well,
got
but
the
no,
when
he died
well,
at the age
to reason,
when he died
but,
at the age of 65, right. I was wondering is he because he was a famous partier.
Well, Michael Douglas sort of opened up a whole new portal to throat cancer that I don't think anybody really considered before.
I don't know the scientific veracity of whether or not you can get throat cancer from cunnilingus, but regardless,
oh, you definitely can HPV.
You definitely can.
Yes, 100%.
Okay, but when you went HPV, you did it like if I knew what you were talking about.
It's a sexually transmitted disease, and that's a common thing.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Do you know what HPV is? No.
You don't want that on. Right.
I don't.
That was honestly not the direction I thought that was heading in, but no.
No, I wasn't going to
ask you. But you understand, don't put that on the poll.
I wasn't going to say, can you get throat cancer from cunnilingus? I was going to say, do you know what HPV was? Because I don't know, or I didn't know what it was. Regardless, at the time, Eddie Van Halen, star of stars, right? You can make the argument that David Lee Roth was the biggest star, rock star in America as the front man to that band. But Eddie Van Halen was considered the musician, and that band had two rock stars. He was married to Valerie Bertinelli, who at the time was, you know, on television on one of three channels on one day. Was it One Day at a Time was the Valerie Bertinelli show?
I think it was. The name of the band, though, was Van Halen. It was not Lee Roth, you know?
That's true.
Yeah.
That's a good point by Stugatz Thank there. You. It was not.
Lee Roth is weird.
Lee Roth is absolutely not a good band. Like we can agree that.
I think we're playing the result there.
Guillermo, put it on the poll. If Van Halen had been exactly the same band, but had been called Lee Roth.
Not nearly as good.
I know this is old guy radio, but you're feeling your mortality on his death. I was feeling mortality when he was in a Las Vegas. Lee Roth was in a Las Vegas hotel. They're playing Running with the Devil at a bachelor party. He's got a camera crew behind him. He's like, watch
Don't
this.
Don't do that. I can't. I got to leave the room.
He knocks on the door. He knocks.
A torturous video to watch.
You've got
to
see the video. He knocks on the door, and they have no idea who he is when they open the door. And he was like expecting excitement from them. Look. Here's David Lee Roth, but they didn't recognize him either because they didn't know he was the lead singer or because he was just so old that he was unrecognizable. It was a very painful experience, though. That's David Lee Roth used to being famous and forgetting that that fame came from an album literally titled 1984.
Does the Shippy Container minus Roy have any earthly idea who or what we're talking about?
That's a good question.
I don't know. I mean, we keep doing this and
let's see.
I've heard of both those guys that like neither their music doesn't do much for me. I'm sure I've heard of their songs, but if you say, what's your favorite Van Halen song? I can't really even name one, but I'm sure I've heard a bunch.
I don't think even though he's a hockey fan and Van Halen is getting so many royalties from hockey arenas, I think word association Van Halen, when you turn to Roy, it's gotta be Beat It, right?
No, it's Jump.
Oh, okay. All
is
right.
it really? Because he did the guitar solo for Beat It, right?
Yeah, and he rearranged the entire track, and it was one famously one take for the guitar riff for Beat It, which is a great riff.
I don't know what where'd you go. Is Eddie Van Halen, the obituaries, are they being too kind when they call him the greatest guitarist ever? Because he was certainly a pioneer. He was copied by many. I think
most people say Jimi Hendrix
is right. where I would go, but Eddie Van Halen is always put in that
of
conversation.
Of that era, I would certainly put him atop there. Each generation has their guy. Adam Levine. I will fight you.
I will kill you with my bare hands.
I will kill you with my bare hands.
Billy, do you know anything about Van Halen?
I think the Lee Roth guy was on the Surreal Life, right?
That's a good way to do it.
Right.
Was he indeed on the Surreal Life? Because I can't imagine him being that kind of hard up. I don't remember him being hard up, but maybe
he was like on Best Week Ever, one of those things. I feel like he has a VH1 connection in some way.
Tony, do you know anything about Van Halen?
Tony's our youngest member.
Yeah, I know Van Halen. I know David Lee Roth. I know Eddie Van Halen. My favorite, 1984 is a good album. I love Jump. It's unfortunate, but I don't know if you would knock on my door today, I don't think I'd be able to put a face to the name.
He looks like an old man now, David Lee Roth.
He does, yeah.
So for me to actually recognize David Lee Roth is a bit of a stretch given how he looks right now.
Wait, Mike.
He needs to dress the way that he did in the Jump video.
Hold on. You, this was maybe, I don't know, 15 years ago. I got on a boat headed to the Miami Heat's arena. And there were like 10 people on the boat, and it was a big boat. And we get close to the arena, and I look over, and I'm like, have I been on this boat with David Lee Roth the entire time? I didn't recognize him. It was him.
It was him.
And
that's amazing.
And but that was old. Like, it's between 10 and 15 years ago.
Are you hanging out with T-Pain?
I don't remember. I was with Jill Martin on that boat, and she had all sorts
of... Wow, that's old school.
So it might have been more than...
I think it was probably more than 10 or 15 years.
And he was old then, though!
Well, how old is he now?
I don't know how old... Old enough to not be recognized in a Vegas hotel room when Bachelor Party is playing his song.
David Lee Roth is 65 years old. Oh, my God. Sammy Hagar is 72?
Wait, you didn't recognize him when he was at least 50?
I didn't recognize him. No, because you're talking about the gymnastics guy in the Jump video with the tight, colorful pants and the long, flowing hair. And the long, flowing hair was gone. There was no long, flowing hair.
Gone. I cannot believe Sammy Hagar is 72 years old. Holy shit. Yeah. But, he looks so much better than the rest of the guys.
Well, David Lee Roth is 65, but again, he was in Van Halen. So those years they just killed somebody those years.
Dog years.
He wasn't on the Surreal Life. He was on I Love the 70s, I Love the 80s, and I Love the 90s.
I love those shows. I love the I Love series.
So good.
You know, the Soup is back again.
They really?
Yeah.
That's good.
Who's hosting it?
I don't know. I was watching and I was like, I don't know.
Made Greg Kinnear, right?
It did.
The Soup made the acting career of Greg Kinnear. And then who came after that? Who came?
Thought you were talking about Dave Campbell.
Oh, man.
What? No way, man!
Mothery Dave Campbell! We will get to a Wizard of Oz story involving Mike Ryan's father in a second, but I just wanted to put the punctuation on Dave Soup Campbell that Stu Gatz mentioned, because some of you, if you don't know who we're talking about with Eddie Van Halen, you might not also know that there was a time that Dave Soup Campbell was an ESPN superstar who was like the lead color commentary voice on all things baseball.
It's odd. The shipping container had no idea about Eddie Van Halen, but they knew everything about Dave Soup Campbell.
All right, so yes. Mike, can you help me here real quick before, again, we get to the Wizard of Oz story involving your father? The nickname of Soup, where does it come from? Dave Campbell was a major league player.
It has to be the last name. Just
and that's
full
it.
Stop.
Just that's Campbell it. Soup. There's yeah. no. It's yeah. just there's
I'm
no
not even
other backstory.
It up.
Did he even like it? Did he like Soup?
I'm
did he
not
like
even Campbell's looking soup? It up.
I'll look it up just to look it up to satisfy Dan. No, but it's Campbell.
It's,
I mean.
It is fair that that would be the assumption to be made there. But so Dave Soup Campbell was a superstar at ESPN. When
you
would
do
you
that
say?
On purpose?
90s, Stugatz?
He was a 90s television
yeah.
star.
Yeah.
Okay. Back when SportsCenter mattered.
Mm-hmm. Right. And this is at the height of ESPN, at the height of SportsCenter, when they're belching out content that is making people superstars. It's the glory age of ESPN anchors. It's back when they were spending on those fancy commercials.
I'm upset I looked it up, but it is a reference to the Campbell soup.
Okay. Well, thank you for doing that for me as an act of
Jeez,
charity
what a
for
waste
me.
Of time.
I thank you. I just wanted to be sure because it's important, damn it, that we be empirically accurate on this. So, Dave Soup Campbell, if you want to look him up in a segment we like to call Google This, he's leathery. Okay. And lest you think that the worldwide leader in sports is Mecca, I imagine someone like, Tony, for example. Well, all of you guys, right? The first time you guys were on the Bristol campus, you were like awed by the fact that you were in the center of what is, you know, your childhood viewing experience as a sports fan.
I saw Michael Eaves in the calf. It was amazing.
Okay, so yeah. You saw Michael Eaves in the calf, and it was amazing. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Is seeing Michael Eaves in the calf amazing? Yes or no?
It really is like the commercials, though. Yeah. You'll be waiting for an elevator, and out comes a Philly fanatic.
There's right. a, there's gritty. Yeah. So, lest you think, though, that it is the top of the universe, it is actually a very small place. I think I have this right when I say that Bristol, Connecticut, the reason ESPN is there is because the whole economy of Bristol is founded on ESPN, and ESPN gets all sorts of tax breaks because basically the city's name is synonymous with this entity. But it is a sad, small place. Not the campus itself. They've poured a lot of money into the campus.
You could drive through that place basically on one street in 5 minutes.
But that campus now is not nearly what it was in the 90s. And so I'm not going to tell you who it was, but there was somebody who showed up for thinking in Bristol, Connecticut, for the first time, here I'm coming to Mecca. I'm coming to the top of the sports food chain. Here is where my dreams are made. If media members want to work in this business, this is where they need to be. And they walk over to the Bristol Radisson Hotel, which was unbearably sad. Like, it's been renovated, but in the 90s it smelled like it just smelled like mildew and old carpet. And there, alone on a beach chair getting a tan with one of those silver things that you put under your chin, was a shirtless and spectacularly reptilian Dave Soup Campbell. And what washed over my friend was simply a profound sadness of, this is what the top of the sports world looks like. I remember feeling that in the ESPN zone in Times Square with Bob Ryan, who didn't have great breath that morning, and the stained furniture and the crappy stale bagels of doing the sports reporters for the first time, and looking around and being like, this is it? This is the top of the world? I told that story and was topped by my friend and the Dave Soup Campbell story.
I got to be honest, it still seems like heaven to me. You stroll into the Radisson and there's soup. You know,
The Radisson looks a lot better now than it does then. So does the pool. Because, again, it was one person in the afternoon on a cheap beach chair by a pool that felt like a motel pool.
Well, is the Radisson the Doubletree now? Because that Doubletree in Bristol is worth the trip.
Oh,
I'm not joking.
Spot.
You
got to
be
the
there.
Now.
You got to be there when the coaches
Del
campus.
Rio strolls through.
Oh, man. I remember Dan and I were sharing a coffee next to Mark Helfrich.
I worked out next to Haji. I mean, Merrill Hodge.
The gym was great. I'd see PJ Carlissimo on the elliptical. I'm like, I've made it.
I rode a bus from Hartford to Bristol with PJ.
I didn't have Jack Del Rio being a flatbread guy.
I honestly have to make a couple of text calls before we get to the Wizard of Oz story involving Mike's dad, because I think I might have a detail wrong in the story. I think everything is right, except at the time the Radisson didn't even have a pool. I think it might have been just like adjacent. I'm going to make some calls. Mike, tell your Wizard of Oz story I make some calls here and do some reporting.
I will tell my Wizard of Oz story after this nugget from Diana Russini, as we're all trying to wonder with the breaking news of what's happening with all these NFL teams, and particularly the Titans, because they've already emptied the chamber in available weeks that they could eat up. Diana Russini tweets out that the Titans are in a difficult position for many reasons. The Bills play next Thursday night against the Chiefs. Moving Bills Titans to Monday seems impossible with this schedule. Canceling or forfeiting may be the only options. So, curious to see what happens.
Forfeiting.
Yeah, forfeiting.
Forfeiting. We're doing that. You've read plans that say that forfeiting is
Diana's opening the door to that. I don't think forfeiting's going to fly. I think maybe just, hey, we play one less game and we'll take our chances. We just have to be that much better. Right now, the Titans are undefeated, correct? So they do have a leg up. They can afford, given their good start. All right, so here's the Wizard of Oz story.
What are you saying? Just cancel an entire week out is what you're saying.
They play one less game, and you just roll the dice and hope your record is good enough. I don't know if they decide to go winning percentage instead of win-loss, but that also seems a little unfair.
You can't have teams playing different amounts of games. You just can't. No, yeah, it's got to be a 15-game season.
But baseball just, what else do you do?
I think cutting out an entire week maybe is probably.
But if you're worried, I understand why you would say that. You can't do it. You're messing with the structural integrity of the game. And Cam Newton just didn't play in a game because you're messing with the structural.
Good point.
They just started. It's a quarter of the season, and they don't seem to have a very good plan for it. So
they have no plan.
If forfeits are an option, Stugatz, if that's where we are with it, imagine that. Imagine the Titans have a good team but have a 6-week outbreak and have to forfeit six games.
This seems so amateur. I'm mad right now at the NFL that we're just out here speculating, irresponsible because we've been forced into this position because there's no public plan.
I'm mad as well. And also, in addition to that, of all the sports through COVID, the one that I've enjoyed the most is the NFL. No fans has not ruined it for me at all.
It just seems arrogant in retrospect. What did they think was going to happen?
What if they came out today and said, you know what, we're switching to a 14-game schedule just to give themselves a few weeks of leeway in the middle?
Good with that. I'm good with that.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm sure the network partners are not going to be fine with that. We'll see. Maybe they expand the playoffs and even further. There's one additional playoff team this week. The expanded schedule is supposed to start next season. You gotta make good. That's why baseball was adding playoff teams right before the first pitch of the major league season.
You gotta give them games.
Yeah,
but Mike, you just a network just had Bills Titans, who's likely not going to get Bills Titans. That's a very good game that they are now. Perhaps not going to get
it. Oh, no, they're going to get it. They spun it into a win. I don't know if you noticed on Monday night when the Chiefs game was on.
Yeah, they kept broadcasting that ESPN has this game. That was absolutely something that had to be negotiated.
Yeah.
CBS had to tell people with free commercial advertising, hey, go check out the game on ESPN as well because we're stealing their audience. And look, man, these broadcast partnerships are all going to be rewritten. I can't even imagine what it's like to be at the top of this company dealing with all of the contracts that there are that are only partially being fulfilled. But I will not wait any longer for this Wizard of Oz story involving your father.
All right, so it was my daughter's first birthday, and if you listen to a previous post-game show, I said the only thing that grabs her attention on TV is A Wizard of Oz for some reason, and I revealed my hesitation with that. So it was her first birthday, and it's a pandemic, it's a bummer. We can't have this big party, can't have all my friends over, can't have their kids over. So we limited this just to her grandparents, which includes my father, and her uncle, and soon-to-be auntie. So we do this and we're enjoying it because the first birthday party is really for the parents anyways, and to take adorable pictures. So we all dress up as characters of Wizard of Oz. I was a flying monkey for the record. My dad was handed the assignment of the Cowardly Lion. Now, my dad, he's a career bachelor, okay? He's not changing for anybody.
Tony, what are you laughing about, Tony? What are you you're laughing at just Mike's general frustrations with his father?
He was handed the assignment of the Cowardly Lion is a great line.
He was handed this assignment. To his credit, he went for it. But I just want to give you a little bit of backstory with me and my dad. We have a very bizarre dynamic. He has no one else, so I have to be there for him. I don't particularly like him. Like, we just don't have common interests. I love him, but I don't have to. It's just like, I don't.
He's frustrating. He frustrates you a great deal.
But how do you love someone yet not like that?
I know.
20 years.
20 years right here with you.
I love you, but don't like you either.
I should walk it back. It's not that I don't like him. It's just that we don't have common interests. We're very different people. Cut from a very different cloth, even though we share a gene pool. So I look at my dad when he's with my daughter and I just like marvel at how I'm alive, because my dad, whether it's putting on a diaper backwards
or upside down,
she's crying. What is it? I'm like, it's incumbent upon who's ever holding her to figure it out. Pops can't feed her. You can't really leave him alone out of fear that he's going to screw something up. A couple of days prior, we invited my dad over for a birthday dinner, and we gave him a cupcake, and my dad ate the cupcake with a paper on it. And I'm like, Dad, you ate the paper with the cupcake? He's like, how am I supposed to know? I'm like, you've never had a cupcake? I did, but that was years ago. I'm like, this isn't exactly something that you can forget. So
Did he have a wrestling match with a shampoo container, too?
Yeah, when He likes to feel like he's helping. So he went to the bathroom as Cynthia's bathing the baby, and she made him feel, my wife is so great with my dad. He feels like he's actually bathing the baby for the first time, and he gets the shampoo, and it's one of these like lotion tops, you know, like the little squirt thing at the top. It's very easy. A baby, my daughter can do it. He starts hitting the bottom, trying to make soap come out. It's just like,
this is a sitcom. Your dad is a sitcom character.
So I'm a little stressed out headed into this birthday party because I just know my dad's going to be around. And I get very frustrated, and it comes off as disrespectful, because maybe sometimes it is, but I'm just like, okay, my patience is thin.
Short with him?
I just have to be good because I have my in-laws around, and I don't want them to have any insight of what this dynamic is, even though I'm letting our listeners in on this dynamic, which is...
Big time. You know what I mean? Jesus.
Well, if he can't figure out a shampoo bottle, he's not going to be able to figure out a podcast.
So, yeah, very true.
Or a cupcake.
So he shows up dressed as the Cowardly Lion rather than get dressed at the house, which is preferred, quite honestly. And he's in full character. He is method acting the shit out of the Cowardly Lion assignment. Like, Dad, you want pizza? I would if I wasn't so scared. Like, it's actually pretty funny. But when he shows
up... Are you laughing or are you annoyed by it now?
He's doing it for, the thing that's funny about it is his daughter's one, so she doesn't understand.
She's got no idea.
She just thinks that she's got a grandpa who's, like, mentally disabled.
He's deep in character, though.
Yeah, he's, like, trying to get her attention, and she's not... Because she's one, and he's just, like, crying. Because he's not getting attention. But when he showed up to my house, he shows up. It's a one-piece costume, right? And it's got like the exposed back. Most people, you wear a t-shirt underneath, so you're not having this exposed back. He turns around, and I see from the top of the neck to the top of his ass crack, just exposed back. And I just like push him into the bedroom.
Well, he's sexy as hell.
Yeah, he is a good looking man. I'll give him that.
He is.
You keep saying sitcom. I'm picturing Charlie Sheen, an older version of Charlie Sheen in Two and a Half Men.
He's exactly that. Only Charlie Sheen was a bit of a man's man. Like, I feel like that character could teach me a couple of things. Like, I remember one time going to a Radisson trying to teach him how to swim, and it was just a disaster. Still doesn't know how to swim.
Any news on the pool, by the way?
I will get you an update. I also am thinking about, I'm waiting for a text back. Right now, my mom is bombarding me with heat criticisms. I just want to start the national show by calling your father and asking him to do it in character.
I will leave.
Just like, I'm talking about right off the top of the national show. No explanation. No. Here's my crying dad is the Cowardly Lion.
No. No, this is a trigger for me. No, flat out no. So I'm inspecting this costume, and I notice the Cowardly Lion is wearing chancletas, and I'm like, what's going on there? He's like, okay, I'll just walk around barefoot. I'm like, no one wants to see your gnarled feet around here. Put on some shoes. And he's like, well, I tried, but I can't figure it out. Now, the Cowardly Lion costume comes with those like slipovers with an elastic band that you can just wrap around the sneaker. You put the shoe on first, and then you get in there. But now we're in this, My father is 65 years old. He's sitting on the bed.
Same age as David Lee Roth.
I am.
My dad. Same age as my dad.
I am.
Christ.
I am putting a shoe on with a lion's paw over it. Like he is a toddler on my bed. Like, what has my life come to? Get me out of here. I need a beer. So that was the dynamic. And after that, not a worry in the world. No sense of embarrassment that his son had to put on his shoes like he's a two-year-old, just on his hands and knees walking around the house. Embarrassing the shit
out of me. I want to hear. If you're going to deny me, my mother's writing in here, I thought I couldn't dislike LeBron more, but I was wrong. If you're going to give us the impersonation or not allow us to talk to him, give me some of the things that he was doing. The laugh was key, or the crying was key, right?
Yeah, he was pretending he was scared the entire time, like he really bought into the ethos of the...
For how long?
The entire day. Yeah.
The entire three-hour birthday celebration.
He was Daniel Day-Lewis.
At one point, he's doing it, Mike. You know this. He knows it's embarrassing to you and annoying you.
No, I don't think he does.
He's oblivious.
No. He's just eating cupcake paper.
Yeah, he's just eating cupcake paper. Look at this group photo that we have of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 people there outside of my daughter.
It's a great picture.
And guess who's there? Just with a paw up, purring like he's Chewbacca in this photo. We're saying cheese and he won't say cheese. He's just going, ha, ha, ha.
Chris, what happens when you have interactions between, it's just your dad, right? You're not embarrassed about your mom being around the in-laws.
No. Well, my mom is like very inquisitive. So like my mom can get a little handsy with just like asking, and because my wife's family is like the opposite of my mom, where my wife and her parents, like there's some things that they just don't ask a lot of questions. And my mom comes in, thinks she's being friendly and just starts peppering. But you're right. The embarrassing ones is when my dad gets over there and gets into the Miller Lights too much. And it's like the end of dinner. And it's like, okay, we need to wrap this dinner up quick. It's stuff that like on a Sunday dinner, when we're at my parents' house by ourselves, I'm like, I'm used to it. I don't care. He can do what he wants. But when we're with my in-laws, it's like, can you not? No, it's just you don't need 3 beers. Like we can wait till the third beer can be after, you know, we can. Like,
it can't with your father.
But I'm surprised. I figure your dad would be very popular within the family, with all family members.
Oh, no, he. You know, my father-in-law talks baseball, big Yankees fan. So yes, like there's that they talk, but it's just my dad doesn't have any shame about getting up and getting the third beer during this sit-down meal where nobody else has gotten up to get a refill. And it's just like, pace yourself, my man. But yeah, it's I can relate. I relate to that a lot,
man.
Like I'm cool with my dad, but when we get around my in-laws, that's when I need to like watch out.
Chris, I've known your father for a long, long time. If he holds it to 3, he's fine because he's got a lifetime of endurance on that front. Like
but
3.
That's that. The thing is, though, is he has 4 before he leaves the house.
Well, good for him. He is what he is. I mean, maybe your in-laws are the problem. It's not Greg, you know? I mean, I'm defending your dad here. I'm just saying, I love your dad. Everyone loves your dad. I'm trying to get you in trouble with your in-laws. What am I doing?
I don't know what you're doing.
True. That's not true. My
very bad judgment.
Sorry.
So you get into a situation. Last night, was Greg Cody into the beers last night? Can you tell from a Zoom call? Because Greg seemed a little bit punch drunk. Tony is nodding his head vigorously. He claimed to have only had a beer or two.
And then he saw Serena Williams in the virtual crowd and went, no, exactly.
Bad seats for Serena Williams. Serena Williams would have been displayed more prominently if it had been Serena Williams. And then he kept doubling down on it.
Yep. And then realized he was wrong and sprinted out of that Zoom chat.
Wait a minute. Okay. Here it is. My source is written back.
Oh, I got to brace myself. Hold on.
This is great. This is just tremendous. Okay. So I did get some of the details wrong on the Dave Soup Campbell tanning himself at the Bristol Radisson story. There was no pool. And it was the parking lot. It wasn't even grass.
It was on concrete.
It was the parking lot.
How's business going for those aluminum like sunscreens that he was holding up to his body? Because I haven't seen that in forever. That's gone the way of like the something exercise about Mary. Machine. That was just the that's the last time I saw it. Remember like the exercise machine from like the 50s that was just an elastic band that would just juggle your hips? Like that's what that's gone the way of.
I was thinking of something in that regard. I'm guessing Roy remembers this, but maybe the rest of you don't. There were a couple of things that you put on the car before. Do you remember the club on the steering wheel?
Yeah.
Putting
yeah,
the club to
yeah, my
secure.
People still have
wheel.
It. Yeah, people still have it.
My grandpa still has the club. Yeah.
And how about the windshield that you put up that is just a piece of cardboard to keep your car warm that is a pair of sunglasses? It's just cardboard. Do you guys know what that is? Is that something that is still selling these days? Is that something that today you can get a hold of? You guys are saying that you think the tan yourself by putting something under your chin, a silver aluminum foil under your chin, that business is not doing well right now.
I do think that still exists. I think if you go to a beach, like a public beach, and you roam the parking lot, you'll see a ton of like sunglass shields on people's cars. I do. I think you'll see them.
Oh, you mean like a windshield visor that keeps the sun from going into the
car?
Yeah,
but it's a piece of cardboard. Yeah. You take it out, and it just covers the whole windshield.
Yeah, I'm sure you can find that at Advanced Auto Parts or something.
Good job out of you.
Good job. One of the things, though, that can't be so, the reason that we don't see those around here, I'm guessing maybe in other states you will see whatever it is. Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Do you know what the name of that aluminum foil thing is that you hold under your chin to tan?
Something about Mary thing.
I don't know what to call it. But because of climate change in South Florida, if you did that, your face would sizzle and burn as if it was being dipped in acid. Like, you can't do that for 5 minutes. Of course you're not going to have that in South Florida. We don't need it to be any hotter. It's going to be like bacon grease cooking. Your face, or my face at least.
Yeah, but in Bristol, Connecticut, I could see where you want to capture all the sunlight possible and reflect it upon your soupy face.
I want you guys to Google, if you have not done it yet, Dave Soup Campbell, and I want you to understand that the Bristol Radisson was a profoundly sad place. It was a dump. And Bristol was the top of the sports universe, and you're pulling into the Radisson to check in for the beginning of your dreams.
Right. Dreams have come true.
My dreams have come true as a sports personality. Hey, is that Soup Campbell? Is he in a beach chair in the parking lot with one of those aluminum foil things? I can't think. Honest to God, please give me some names that are funnier. Not just the name itself of Soup Campbell, but just visually. In the history of ESPN, that it would have been funnier to see physically in that spot. Like, I know you guys are going to take some Bermans and some heavy people, but the fact that he cared this much about his tan, it was proven every time he was on television because he was extraordinarily tan. He looked like a combination of baseball and the sea.
Sal Pal?
Bill Pito.
Yeah, Bill
Pito's excellent. Pito.
Yeah. Bill Pito.
Just the entire 1994 cast of Edge NFL matchup.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.